Now, what we'd like to do is take up where we basically left off at lunch break. I think that there probably are some other things that some of you would like to say. And I would certainly like to encourage that. Seems to me that a time like this, an open forum like this, can have positive results, or it can degenerate into a personal expression of opinions, philosophizing. I'd like to ask you just to think with me now about a passage. Don't look at it, just listen to it. And try and give yourself really mentally to what this is saying. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I think those are the guidelines that we'd want to follow in a forum of this kind. So, as we seek to keep that in mind, I think we also need to keep in mind Ephesians 4:25. In fact, I happen to have it here, so I'll use it. The Living has an interesting paraphrase of this, which I think communicates pretty adequately what the verse says. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. So we're members of a body, we're members of a group, and we need to be honest, and we need to express whatever there is that wants to be expressed with the basic guidelines that we looked at there in that first passage we read. Now, to get us back to where I think we were, there had been some comment regarding this matter of, I'm going to call it, unreserved commitment. And the feeling that somehow this is being forced on the group, or demanded, or that somehow it's being communicated that is not present. That was expressed. Another thing that was expressed was that the reason for that lack of commitment is a lack of confidence. And Gordy, I don't want to misquote you here. I think I heard you say lack of confidence in the leadership. Is that adequate?
Yeah, would you like me to...
Fine. Why don't you do that? Yeah.
Well, since this morning I had an opportunity to think through, and I would like to just restate what I had to say this morning. And Jack, I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that I'm very happy with the Navigators. I'm very happy with the ministry, very happy with everybody in it. I have no axes to grind. Have not been thinking about any of these things for a very long period of time, probably since our FOM in September. And then coming here, and then hearing the messages that I've heard, both on tape, and Jack's last night, and yours this morning, particularly dealing with the issues of communication, confidence, and holiness, it just jarred loose a whole bunch of things in my mind. And what is coming across to me in the messages that I have heard, and granted I'm leaving many things out that are said, is what you said, George. I think the desire I pick up from Jack and some of the things that you said this morning, for us to make a greater commitment to the U.S. Navigator team. And that particularly this is not in the section of Jack's message last night where he talked about the fact that if the leadership has confidence in us to take greater responsibility, then barring any of those four things that he mentioned, then that would seem reasonable that we should be available to do that. I would like to do that very much. But as I have thought about my own personal situation, I find that, in all honesty, there's at least one major thing within my heart that prevents me from making a commitment any more than what I already have. And if I am being called on to make a greater commitment and I'm up against an emotional block of making any more than I am, then that produces some pressure within me. And I think, God has put his finger on is an issue in my life. And so I want to share that to open up the area for investigation. And perhaps some of us are having the same kind of a struggle, but I just like to call it like I see it, realizing that my perspective is a narrow perspective. And I'm not speaking for the group as a whole. Now, the thing that keeps me from making any greater degree of commitment than I've already made to the U.S. leadership team is that my confidence in that leadership team has been shaken. And I'm not making specific reference to Skip's leadership or Jack's, I'd just say both, all of it, just in general. And the thing that has shaken my confidence has to do with personnel. I have observed, from my point of view, six situations with people, particularly at the RD level, and some close to the regional director level, who have been asked to do things, who have been given tasks and assignments that have really, from my point of view again, have hurt me personally. They have been called upon to pay a price in their personal lives, their families, that I would evaluate as being unfair, unjust. And I conclude in my mind that perhaps the leadership team does not know these people well enough, or as well as they should, in order for these people to have a job in which they can function and be optimized. And in one situation where I was intimately involved with one regional director and saw firsthand the struggles and pressures that put in his life, the problems that created for a number of us. And it shook my confidence to realize that perhaps they don't know him very well. If they did, then I would reason, boy, they certainly shouldn't allow this to go on. Well, that just doesn't happen once. It's happened at least six times. And so I get the idea that these men with this additional responsibility perhaps are not being shepherded or cared for or known. And so that really, it shakes my confidence that if I were to take on additional responsibility, then I would be leaving those that know me the best in my area and be extending myself, perhaps, or taking on a job that would overextend me and leave me in the same situation that some of these people have been left in 2 or 3 years from now. And so I become fearful of making any greater commitment than I already have. And I begin to reserve in my own mind the right to decide things. And then I have all kinds of doubts of even now that I have the ability to make a wise decision about that either. You know, that's just kind of a bad thing. And so I think that there's a problem in there. And I would like that problem dealt with because I can't deal with myself. I want to have that confidence in the leadership team. I would like to make myself available without reservation, but I can't do it without help. You know, maybe there needs to be communication on some of these situations. I don't know, but I see what's happened at positions of greater responsibility. I don't want that to happen to me. It scares me.
Okay.
Then the other thing that I mentioned this morning, in all fairness, I need to mention again, I'd like to wait and come back to. But
let's stay with the one thing.
Deal with this one thing.
What I'd like to ask is, are there others who feel that way? Now, let's not get off on related topics. Let's try and stay pretty much with that topic. What I interpret as a lack of confidence in the care of the people on the part of leadership. Will that be all right?
Yeah, who have positions of responsibility
right.
At a higher level than mine.
Okay. Bob, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I felt that. I felt particularly bad about Skip's set to. I felt like organizationally, somewhere along the line, we did not minister to Skip in a fair and just way. And that it did the same thing with me, and I talked to Jim Downing about it. And it did rattle my cage because the response it solicited from me, first of all, how could he get that far in the organization and have those things not in order and then crash from that altitude? If that's allowed to take place, when is it going to happen to me? That was my concern, my selfish concern. And it threw some real questions into my mind that I've never had with the names before.
Good, all right.
George, I saw the same thing in the Southwest and what Gordy did and with Merck. And I was very close to him. And I think I would conclude the same with Gordon, that it was very hard for me to see what those of us, especially in leadership, saw. And there seemed to be no help, or at least that we were aware of, from above for him. And it really was difficult for us to see that happen. And because of that, I think after Gordy said what he did, I realized, well, I guess I have some reservations too. I recognized that I had, in my own mind, figured out what I've got now is what I like. And I would be very fearful of something more because of that particular thing. That, you know.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay.
Hopefully this isn't enough off to it's a new topic.
If it is, I'll tell you, because we're going to stay on the topic.
to what they're talking about is very similar. I think we had identified and openly admitted in an open session something that we have been reluctant to admit before, that there is a confidence problem, and that it's probably two-way. And that one of the things that has identified it has been some crises in leadership. And my concern is that we take a long, hard look at our process, our procedure for selection of leadership, and see if we aren't in violation of some biblical guidelines that we are unwittingly, that God is trying to tell us something through the scripture. And whereas there were probably personal factors involved, quite often we're grappling with something, assuming that it's sin on some guy's part. And it may be that we're dealing with something even more basic, that we're procedurally in violation of biblical guidelines. And I'm thinking of a church in Chicago that violated some basic guidelines that the Lord has shown in Scripture and just blew apart at the seams. The tendency was to say, well, this guy had a sin problem in his life, this guy. But there were other factors that if you could get away from the thing, you could see that were fairly basic. And Al Andrew's comment sort of sparked my desire to express this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look for some generic solutions and not just be dealing with symptomatic expressions of what may be happening. Perhaps there is an ongoing effort to come to grips with us. But I think a lot of us need reassurance that that is happening as a positive step of restoration of confidence.
All right. Terry?
In light of that confidence problem, it seems like that if what we're talking about receptive, that maybe one of the issues at stake there might be, in my mind, not so much the process and the procedure for selection, but it's the function, making sure that we function on whatever team we're on as a spiritual team, that we're not only mutually committed to the vision that God's called us to, but we are mutually committed to each other in this area of godliness, knowing one another, the willingness to be transparent and share, and make sure that we are functioning as a spiritual team as well as an administrative team. And it seems to me that on whatever team we're on, and we're always on two, I'm on Jerry's team, I have a team, that on those teams, if we're mutually committed to each other, to be transparent, sharing of our lives, we're committed to one another to be able to speak the truth in love in the area of our personal traits, character traits, the ministering the spiritually to one another, as well as administratively. It's the one protection factor that each one of us has. And without that, it's just a matter of time till we have our own propensity and bent for getting out on a limb somewhere. And if we are in a position of responsibility, when the fall, God's dealing with all of us, it's just more obvious to in positions of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like to me that there might be a mutual commitment factor facing what that means in terms of being committed to each other as well as to the vision.
Good. Now, it may be that there would be some expression here on the other side of the fence. I'd sure welcome some of that, too. Is there anybody that has confidence? Good.
It's not a question of confidence or no confidence.
No, I know that.
It's a matter of relative confidence.
True.
See, now we're like the same kind of...
Now confidence. You're bringing your family into it. Your relatives.
You wouldn't want to...
Well, George, this morning I said I had not observed or experienced it thus far, and that's the case where I...
George, I was going to say that in the area of confidence, I think that the issue boils around is that we're seeing some things happen that are building confidence. For instance, in the area of what's happened with Skip, what's happened with Don, is that I praise God that the leadership had the guts and the courage and desire to take action at a point and not let it continue. Okay? But the thing is how now do we ensure that that continues on, and what can we do to prevent that from happening? So I'm very confident in seeing that action taking place. That just lifts my spirit.
Good. I think I have to say, and I can't speak for Jack, and I'm not going to ask him to speak to that right now, or for Lorne, but I think I hear and see and observe and certainly sense that we cannot guarantee that it will never happen again. Somehow we just aren't able to rid ourselves of the frailty of our human failure. But by the grace of God, we're aware of what's happened. And we're trying to design ourselves and think ourselves into patterns that will keep us from letting that same thing catch us again. But that's why I read this little passage, because there's one word in there that I think is very essential, and it's the word forgiveness. I think at some point, there has to be kind of corporate forgiveness too. And an opportunity to reestablish, quote, the credibility or whatever it is that might have been destroyed. Let's get some different voices in here now. Doc, and then we'll come back to you, Lovren.
I heard his saying this morning that we would not want to go any higher, that we felt this was as high as we'd want to go from a security standpoint. I was taking those lessons, and that was totally new to me. I wasn't even thinking above me. I was thinking these principles, how I should apply them below. Now, if I had the people that are working on my staff, they might say the same thing. They say, Doc, with the way you've blown it, we're as high as we want to go. I wonder if we're not, instead, it isn't this level, it's just that this is where we are. And we're really dealing with an issue, to me, of the sovereignty of God and the character of God. And I don't mean that as a compact, but I really mean it.
Okay, Bob?
I think if we've got ideas, we're trying to speak, and we feel we're not being heard, it really shakes our confidence. And we see things happening around us, and we don't understand it not being communicated, it tends to shake our confidence. I think that, look back at some of the things we were going through there when, Scotty was field director for a day, and then Henderson was, left one position that they did away with, going to another position they didn't have, Those things kind of shook us up down below. We just kind of went like this and began to study, did the ministry, and just let everything happen. I think you need demonstration in order to build confidence. And I think that's helped me, and that's when we want to say this, is that with the thing with Don, our team, our regional team, has had a lot of contact with Jack. And he came down there, and we had an opportunity to sit down with him and talk to him for hours about the situation with Don. When the decision's being made for the new, who's going to take over as the RD, we were brought into that. When it was, the decision was made, before it was finalized, we were brought into that. Well, that began, I've got more confidence than I've ever had before in the leadership. Now,
okay.
It's been only within the last few months, but it was because something was demonstrated.
Well, but now there, you've mentioned two factors that are very important. I want to speak to both of them briefly. There's a time factor. And when I say time, I'm thinking in terms of the breadth of our staff and how often and how deep you can go at any given time in a given segment of our staff. It takes time to do that. It takes time to go down and spend hours with you guys. And it would be nice if we could commit ourselves to that basically, and do that pretty much all the time to maintain that kind of communication. But there's just a lot of work that has to be done on Jack's desk as well. So the point is, it's just going to take some time. That's where the forgiveness comes in. That's where this allowance factor comes in. You say we need a demonstration. Right. But you got to have a little opportunity to demonstrate. The second thing that I'd like to ask you, Bob, and not ask you for the answer only, but ask the group for the answer. You used a phrase that comes up frequently, and that is that we don't feel like we're being heard or listened to. I think I'd like to get from you some response to what do you mean, or what do you feel you mean, or what do you feel others mean when you use that phrase, that we're not being listened to. What does that mean? All right, Bob, you asked the question.
I can think of some instances where we interacted as an RD, state director team, and we gave some input to the RD that we felt very strongly about. and then he would be our representative and come out here, and then, well, it just wasn't right to say it, or somebody shouldn't listen to that, or, you know, it, he didn't want to hear that, or, you know, that kind of stuff just, I can't think of a specific example, but I know that that's happened on a number of occasions.
All right, but
my tongue to this level up here is through my RD. And if he cannot have the confidence that he can say what he wants to say at a meeting, then what does that do to me down below?
But there's another side of that, Bob.
There always is.
And that is... and that is, if you cannot have the confidence in your RD to believe that he'll represent you when and the time comes, at the right time and so forth, and if he does not, there must be a reason for that. Now, obviously, if that goes on for a period of time, then you might need to ask some questions. But what I'm saying is, what does it mean then? You're communicating that when you say, I've been listened to, that what I say, the guy does. He takes it and communicates it and et cetera, et cetera. And that to you means being heard.
Not doing it. But
no, not doing it, but doing with it what you want him to do with it. You see? But the point I'm making is, at some point, where is the confidence factor in the other direction as well? Charlie?
I think the confidence factor has to do with one level of leadership knowing that the other level of leadership is grappling with the real issues. And if at a lower level of leadership, you're really banging heads and a deep level of honesty and really trying to get your teeth into some real issues that you're facing, and then you float that to the next higher level of leadership, and it kind of gets like, you know, you kind of get the impression sometimes that, well, you guys, that's not valid. And yet that's where we're actually living. And so that destroys the confidence level. Or if that is taken and kind of swept under the rug, and like you said, and Jack mentioned, and, you know, that we've been guilty of not dealing with some things. He mentioned in one of his messages. Well, that's probably one of the things that really destroys confidence, is especially if you have a level of leadership, your level of leadership, where you're dealing with that kind of issue on a team, and then it floats to the next higher level, and it's not dealt with, then you think, it's no use. And so I feel like what helps my confidence is not knowing that they do my idea, or they esteem my idea, but knowing that the issue was really grappled with. In other words, it doesn't have to come back to me in my, you know, my idea. It is just that if the issue was really laid on the table, eyeball to eyeball, the leadership looked together and really discussed the issue. That's all it needed. You know, and if I have that assurance, and, you know, it's kind of in God's hands, that type thing, probably in God's hands all the time, but it really helps to know that the issue was discussed. So, you know, I'm not going to name any issue or anything like that.
Right.
I think that really helps.
Okay, I won't speak to that. There's a thought I have. Go ahead, Alan.
In relationship to the thing that I was talking about this morning, I think this ties into what Chuck was talking about. Coming from the situation that I come from, number one, I have been in a ministry where I was the guilty party running over people and using them and having to answer to the people and tell them that I was the one to wrong. And as I look back on that experience, I say probably the only thing that really salvaged that ministry and has allowed it to go on was the fact that I did tell them that I had made a mistake. And it made every person come to me and say, well, okay, let's go on. But having left Chicago now and having gone into Canada into a similar situation where there have been some upheavals just as we're having in various sections of the U.S., the first thing I had to do was look at it and say, well, what is the problem? What's wrong? And not to say to those people, well, here's what I think is wrong. But to say, what is wrong? We've made a mistake. It's wrong. What is wrong? Now, the thing that has come out in the discussion of that situation, the thing that is wrong is that an organization is only as large as its leaders have capacity to lead. And if those leaders are overextended in their capacity to lead, and they're trying to manage an organization that, in fact, they do not have the capacity to lead, then there's a breakdown in relationships. Then there's that guy who is the 12th man on the end of the span of control, who's saying to the leader, "You're not listening to me." And the leader is saying, "Well, I really want to listen to you. And my motive is right, but I don't have time to listen to you. I'm too busy doing the ministry." And the result is that as we've looked at it, we've decided, well, we're going to have to retreat. We're going to have to back up and build this thing out in relationship to the capacities of the leaders to lead. And when we run out of capacity, we just run out of organization. That's all. Now, whatever God wants to do beyond that, that's up to Him. But we cannot overrun our capacities to lead. Now, we can increase our capacity by equipping and by broadening and developing our leadership. I think the thing that has been on my heart in looking at it is I've observed it, and as I mentioned this morning, as I look at it, in my situation, and the one that I personally knew, my motive was as pure as could be. I really wanted to do the right thing. I just took on more and more and more and more and more, and allowed things to happen. And then as I did, all of a sudden I looked around and I failed. And as I look at the situation I'm in right now, I can't see. I'm sure there could have been some, and I don't want to overlook it if it was there. I cannot see bad motives. Every time I talk about the situation, every time I interact with staff or whatever, I always end up with the navigator blew it. Not one individual, or not any one person in any situation. It's always the navigators. And it's always the same problem. A leader was overextended. He did more than he could actually do. And he stopped listening, and the relationships broke down. And as I look at this situation, it's amazing. In situations in the U.S. where we have solid leadership and where we have leadership capacities that are kept in balance, we don't have a problem. And where we have areas where leaders have been overextended and they don't have the capacities to deal with the situation, the problem emerges. I just wonder, in speaking to the thing I was talking about this morning, is if we don't need to be very, very careful to sit down as an organization, not just in the U.S., not just in Canada, but on a broader scale, and say, now, just what is our capacity to lead right now, where we are? And in some way, at least attempt to arrive at a solution to what point we need to retreat to. And then to begin to launch a major offensive in the area of leadership development in order to enlarge our capacities to take on many of the things that we're not capable of taking on.
Well, Al, I think you have stated very well what I believe to be Jack's basic reason for establishing this type of get-together. This is sort of an initial phase, a kickoff, if you want to call it that, to try and do that very thing, at least to begin it, the development of some of this middle leadership, which I think is very much in the awareness spectrum of all of us. All right. Now, any further comment on what we've been talking about thus far? We were talking about a confidence factor. Several of you have spoken to that, and I'd like to give opportunity for others who might want to speak pro or con. I think your comments were very honest and appreciated.
Just one thought about what you said about forgiveness. That may be the real issue, or the need. As I think of that, I think that in order for forgiveness to take place, there needs to be confrontation and admission of wrongdoing, wherever wherever it lies. And that may be part of the problem where there's, you know, where we are not forgiving. And I'm not putting the B on either side. I'm just saying that there needs to be admission of confrontation and at some point agreement as to, you know, this was wrong, and the person says, I recognize it and I'm sorry. From the leadership, if that's where the problem is, or from at a lower point, if that's where the problem is. And then forgiveness can take place. It's difficult for me to see forgiveness without that, you know, communication, except as we talk about the sovereignty of God, which we must do. I just like to say that.
All right. Is there... yeah, Jerry?
I just want to say that I'm very encouraged and have growing confidence in our leadership and what we're doing in a gathering like this. And there are several reasons for that. One is that it appears that in a number of circumstances, we are actually confronting issues. We are dealing with situations. And it gives me confidence to know that not only are we doing that, but, you know, I will be heard, and as will others. And also just, of course, sitting in on the discussions at the RD level, you know, I have confidence that this is not done, things are not done offhandedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have confidence that Jack is very sensitive to God's leading, and at the same time, we deal with issues of sacrifice. You know, we are missionaries. But I feel that there's been some real, that there is progress. I believe that God is giving us a good openness organizationally and we're in line. So I don't know if we talk about that.
Thank you, Jerry. I'd like to come back to Ken's comment because I think it's key. There are two basic passages on forgiveness that come to my mind, and both of them are familiar to you. One in Luke 17, verses 3 and following, where Jesus is teaching his disciples about forgiveness, and he says, if someone comes and offends you, and you rebuke him, and he repents, forgive him. And if he does it seven times in one day, you forgive him seven times in one day. And the disciples said, you're asking for the moon. Basically, that's what they said. They said, if you want us to do that, you've got to give us more faith. It's the only way we can do it. And Jesus said, no, gentlemen, you've got it. You just didn't see it. You didn't understand it. You don't need more faith. You just need to exercise the faith that leads to obedience. That's all. Lord, we don't feel like forgiving every time they come seven times. That's not what I asked. We need some kind of special grace to be able to do that, Lord. No, you don't. All you need to do is what I just asked you. Just forgive them. You see, faith and obedience in the Scriptures always run very parallel. So what Jesus is saying, if you really believe me, you just extend that faith. And then he goes on and he makes a very interesting statement that you remember. He said, if you had the faith as a mustard seed, really what he's saying, if you have that kind of obedience, if you'll just do what I've asked you to do, if you'll obey on the basis of the fact that I said it, if you'll just believe me that much and do it, it's like saying to the sycamore tree, be removed, and it'll be removed. What he's saying is, forgiveness will bring about miracles that you haven't even imagined. You think it's a big thing for this tree to be removed? That's nothing. Now, I'm aware of the fact that in that passage he says, they repent. I'm aware of that. But in the Ephesians 4, 30 and 31 passage, there's no mention of the repentance factor. It's that we're to forgive as God has forgiven us in Christ. But, to get more pragmatic about this, what do we need? I don't want to be facetious now. I think that the things that have been mentioned, and remember, guys, I'm talking from a purely non-involved point of view, in the sense of the administrative decision-making and all the rest of it. But here we are. All these things that have been rehearsed and reviewed are true. Jack said it yesterday. I have notes putting down the things that Jack said. Here's what happened and here's what happened. That's right. That's true. We can't deny it. There have been some mistakes made. So my question is, when we say, and Ken, I'm not jumping on you about this. This is something I'm expressing to all of us. I'm asking a question. When we say, okay, we want to forgive, but there needs to be some expression of guilt. That's not the word you use. That's my word. Some expression of wrongdoing. What form does that have to take? Sackcloth and ashes for our leaders to come before us and bow and scrape in repentance? Or does there come at this point, gentlemen, the confidence to believe that just as you would admit a mistake that you made in an assignment, recognizing the results of it over here, that just as you would do that, that this has been done? Maybe not broadcast. Maybe that's what you want. I don't know. But I'm asking, what is it? What will it take to bring healing? That's a question.
George, you mentioned an illustration in your talk this morning that
you bet, Fred. Anything I said, whatever was there.
I wanted to interact with you on it. It wasn't appropriate, but use the illustration of some mass staff who went off into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that illustration? Mm-hmm. And you would ask me why I didn't go to as a supervisor and say, you know, why? I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, well, you wouldn't have understood. I did that once and got the leg cut off.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may be a bad illustration to use. Number one, so what if the guy's legs cut off from under him? His responsibility is still to go back. And I think Ken's point is that we need to have a restoration or redemptiveness, you know, within the fellowship. And if we want to see restitution made,
that's right.
To forget. I'd say probably the biggest need to get that to come about, George, is just for, you know, this group of men to agree to face a hard issue of confrontation. Faithful arguments, it just takes guts.
Mm-hmm.
It also takes personal initiative and personal responsibility that if you've got a problem, you need to work it out. It's probably a hard issue that somebody has not dealt with in terms of I'm willing to put myself out or pay an emotional price if I want to get that forgiveness or to square this into way. That just kind of popped in my mind this morning, even when you gave that old question, I just kind of wrote down a note that a guy can explain away, say, a situation my leader would not have understood, therefore I'm in sin. I don't think God would buy that.
Granted. Could I just speak to that one brief moment, Fred? I think the context in which I stated that was the recognition of the fact that maybe his behavior was not biblical. Remember I used the concept of the biblical rigidity that can set in at times? And the fact that we have to allow for some humanity in there? And the fact that here's a guy that was afraid.
Yeah.
Not excusing it.
Yeah, the leader was certainly at fault by not, you know, understanding or not, you know, communicating.
Yeah. No, and I hear what you're saying. It's no excuse for the man to not fulfill his responsibility.
That's right.
I hear you.
Well, that was just the point that I was going to make, that at no point can we state individual
personal responsibility can never be abrogated. You're absolutely right.
So that was the point that I was making.
And I think that you're right when you say that that is one of the ways in which a long-range restoration and healing is going to take place among this group right here and in the leadership of the navigators. A willingness to confront one another, and to be confronted. Okay, let's see. Gordy, just one second. I think there was somebody behind you. Maybe not. Charlie, then Gordy, and then Ray. Okay?
On this business of what does the leadership have to do, I realize what you say that our responsibility to forgive is, but it just doesn't seem right that we suffer loss under years of emotional stress and pressure. And then somebody say, well, that's tough grit. You can just forgive and bear up. Sometimes you feel like, well, I want to see him hurt a little bit too. Or I want to see him, or at least he can do is say he's sorry whether he means it or not. Sometimes I want to tell my wife that. I can't convince her she's wrong. It takes me hours of the night just to show her she's wrong. She rarely is. But when she is, I just want to say that she's sorry. That saves a lot of time. Whether she means it or not, just tell me you're sorry. Or put your arm around and say, Charlie, I know you've been through a lot of agony and that sort of thing. I'm really sorry that came from me or something like that. I guess I expect that as a human need. And I think it comes from that communication level four.
That's right.
Of communicating on a feeling need.
Yeah.
If somebody's not interested in how I feel, that has a whole lot to do with my confidence in that person.
All right. Thank you. Gordy?
Here's what it would take for me.
All right.
I forgave...
In a brief statement.
Yes. Now, I forgave everybody and everything last year, and my heart has been at peace for a year, or maybe longer. And I think back at the names of some people who I feel have really suffered at the hands of the navigators because they took on additional responsibility and what didn't seem to be wise. Then I hear that, well, things are different now. But I don't see that they're different. I hear it being communicated that they are, but there's Don Lanier. And then there's Jerry Quine in a position that has him stretched. And I say to myself, things really haven't changed because I have not heard any acknowledgement of the fact that, man, we know that we have got some problems and these people are really paying a price and we're going to solve this thing to get things to normal. I hear of possible solutions to things that seem to put people in greater stress. And so I when I'm called upon to make a renewed commitment to something that I see being perpetuated, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, period. Now, Jerry, I want to put you on a spot. You were just used as an example. Is that a legitimate example?
Well, I don't feel it is because, see, I was hurt. Excuse me, you know, and I'm not sure exactly how Gordy means. I've been stretched by taking on the Southwest. You know, I've been through things with these guys. And, but, you know, I felt that that was right and good. And as we discussed things recently, you know, I went through some things about shirts. You know, I run up the white flag, and if someone sees a white flag, I feel like I was hurt.
He was heard, H-E-A-R-D, not H-U-R-T. Just so that it comes through to you over here.
H-E-A-R-D.
He was listened to. Okay? Gordy, I'm not trying to blow your argument out. I just want to make sure we keep the information accurate here. Let's see. Ray was next.
I appreciate the openness of our sharing, but I find a couple of awkward situations. One is Gordon's opening comment on the six men whom he knew quite intimately at the leadership level, and I think that leaving it at that, and his conclusions may be inferred as to what was right or wrong in those situations, but it seems to me tense for those who have not had the questions or the problems to say, well, maybe there are six men who are going to be hurt. And unless it's awkward, I say, because unless we get it out on the floor or to be spoken to, we may find that there's information behind it that makes Gordon's conclusion invalid, or maybe valid. But it does leave the question of, maybe there have been six men who have been hurt by the leadership. I find another awkwardness, George, that we've been talking about confession, repentance, and forgiveness, and I go back to the scripture and I say, confession by whom?
For what?
And to whom? And for what?
For what?
Does the navigator leadership, if they're the ones, or whoever that is, do they owe me a confession? Or, let's say, skips my change of assignment. I look at it and I say, I don't understand it all. If I'm offended, the scripture says I need to go to whoever it is and set it right and say, I'm offended. If I'm not offended, I have to take whatever information, or whether or not I do go, take whatever information as a reason. And as a Christian brother, I have to accept this truth unless I'm otherwise. And so I say I find this awkwardness because we're also in an ethical situation as to should we all know everything about all these men if it does not involve me. So, but I do have a question as to, you know, the six men that Gordy referred to, and whether or not we need to speak to that, get it all clear, and also if you as a counselor would say, in a case like this, you know, who makes a confession and to whom?
Yes, there was a hand over here.
That was mine.
Okay.
I want to take off on that, but if you want to handle this thing with six men, I'll wait. I mean, I was going to take off on Ray's comment.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, Gordy? The six men.
I think the six people that I have observed and have had some question about their handling in terms of personnel assignments, tasks given them, would be Russ Port, Chuck Singletary, Bert Martin, Dwight Hill, I'll think of the other two in just a second. Skip. And possibly Don, but then Larry Whitehouse. And, you know, I think we could add more to that. And see, those things, I think emotionally I've buried them all. And I'm not looking for a confession for anybody. But what I am, I think, looking for is some kind of a recognition that, you know, we want to operate that way. And maybe we need to make some organizational changes, change the job of the regional director, maybe change around some of the state director things, so that doesn't happen in the future. Yeah, I'm not upset with anybody for any of those things.
I'd like to challenge something.
All right.
You said that emotionally, that's put to rest. But it's still very much a part of your responses.
Well, that could be. I can't read that, what I'm saying, George.
Well, but that's the point that you made today. That because of these evidences that you've seen, you yourself are unable to give a kind of response in confidence. So that's still very much a part of your emotional makeup right now.
Okay, I guess, you know, from that sense, I would agree.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I think it can be easily taken care of.
Right. But how? What is it that's going to make that's going to take care of it?
I think for me it would be Jack saying that we recognize that it's not the way we want to operate, and we are doing what we can to solve it.
Has that not been said in some way, or has it?
Maybe it has, and I've missed it. If I have, then my whole thing is pointless.
Okay.
George, I really feel we have said that. We said it in several situations. You know, I can't remember quotes. That's been very much the spirit of a number of discussions. And
All right. Let's go to Bob and then Don and then Norm.
George, I think that we have to recognize the fact that communication are based on whether or not the person has received the communication, not on what we have said. And I think that Gordy is valid there in what he's saying. And there are other people that had direct contact with Jack, and we talked about issues. And in our position, and we've expressed it, that the confidence that in the past has been lacking and shaken has been restored by personal contact and communication with Jack. Because Jack communicates better down here than he does from up there. And I think we need to recognize.
Then I think I have a very easy, generic solution. And that is that Gordy, sit down with Jack and let Jack express to Gordy and Gordy express to Jack whatever needs to be expressed for you to receive whatever communication will meet that need. Don?
Well, yeah, since my name was thrown into the arena, George, I would personally like to say from the standpoint of just clearing the deck.
Right.
And so as to... so no wrong conclusion can be concluded. I have no regrets or no hurts from the standpoint of how I was handled. I think I was handled in a very scriptural, biblical way. And as far as Jack and the RD team, I was not hurt from the standpoint of how I was handled. And the only hurt, the only emotional hurt, you know, as we were talking this morning, was simply, and is simply, as a result of the sloppiness and the mishandling that I have personally done. And but as far as how I was handled, brother, I was handled correctly.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate your saying that very, very much. That's important for everyone to hear. Okay, let's see. There were some more hands. Chuck, what else?
Two things. One, I went to the bathroom.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let me ask you to narrow out my situation. I don't feel like I was mishandled in the sense of management. I don't know what Jordy's talking about, frankly. I have some struggles in confidence. But they're more complex, and I don't think need to be aired out.
Right.
I just feel that there's some. I feel that we need to take a long, hard look
at our selection processes.
At our processes.
Okay.
And not personalize it so much as God telling us something. And I can do that.
Bob Lovern, let's see. No, excuse me. Next door, I'm sorry. You were first. Roy?
Well, these things are kind of shaking me because most of the people on this list were people that were my direct supervisors. It's all my fault. When the crisis came with the person, and I could see there, yes, I could have seen that flaw or whatever it was, you know, that eventually brought him down. And I could have seen it when he was supervising me or working with me and helping me, but I didn't say anything. And I feel that within our organization, there may be a difficulty that you might call it our view of the position of leadership. And it seems that my own response to leadership, and I feel and I fear that I may have the same problem with people that I'm going to lead, is that God is either infallible or he's dead. You know, we don't encourage, we don't have enough of that dialogue. So I would say that it's not a, as much a problem of selection as it is functioning together, because even if you make the wrong selection and put the wrong man in that position, if you have the dialogue and if you have the willingness and the cooperation to work together as a team and to really be honest with each other, then you can change the selection without it being a traumatic thing. And I think that Gordon, the thing that Gordon has brought out here with some of these fellows is that the change has had to be traumatic and very dramatic. And I think that would point to perhaps some weakness in our philosophy of leadership or position.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. Were there any in order here? Let's start at the back. Go ahead, Lauren.
There's two emotions that seem to come out here. And that is first one is I'm very encouraged that that when things aren't healthy, there can be a change. And this is what gives me continual trust in leadership around the Navigators. And I've seen this happen over a long period of time. Things of which I have known haven't been unhealthy, but have been willing to live with, and they have changed. But whenever that happens, and the change is rather dramatic, that also causes fear in me, because I know my own inadequacies, and I wonder how long before maybe the axe might fall on me. And that's something of which I always have to say, you know, God, you're my God. And at any one time, I can look very bad. And God will make me look like he wants me to look in order to do his work in me in the long run. And that's something I have to live with. But I see these things as something that builds trust in me.
And we're back to this confidence in God factor, aren't we, Lauren, at that point? Your knowledge of God and your basic confidence in God at that point. Let's see, we had Paul, Bruce, and then Ben. Okay, Paul?
Picking up on what you said earlier, George, about being obedient to what we know to do, I would imagine that most of us here in the room have given the messages on what's involved in forgiveness and the two sides to it. And I've heard it stated several times this morning and then again this afternoon about that the leadership should confess misjudgment, irresponsibility, or whatever it is. And in my own thinking, I believe I've heard that done. Now, exactly who did it, I believe that I've heard that done, but I don't think that's the issue. I believe the real issue is, from a scriptural perspective, that there have been people who have been offended that maybe the ones that offended them didn't know about it, and the scriptural principle hasn't been applied where the offended has gone to the offender and said, hey, you know, I don't know what you meant, but the way this came across to me was this, and I'd like to ask your forgiveness for being offended by what you did. And to carry it a little bit farther, I believe that there have been accusations made against individuals in this arena without the person going to that individual and saying, here is my response to something that you have done or that I think that you have done that needs to be confessed.
So that kind of goes along with what was suggested by Fred regarding the matter of confrontation.
And also, I think Ray brought it up.
Yeah. All right, Bruce.
Yeah, right here. Thank you. I think the thing that comes to my mind, and I don't have any struggles with any of the leadership on an individual basis, but I think in terms of reputation, it's always been a little bit difficult for me to approach someone in a leadership role over me with either a problem in his life that seemed evident or that was, I had an impression it was a problem, or with a method that we had. And looking back on it, the reputation is that we have a tendency, I think, to cover our six, which is a Navy term that you make sure your 6 o'clock position isn't vulnerable. Well, by nature of the our organization, I would really appreciate a reputation other than that with one another. And it seems to come out in messages that say, you should forgive, and we shouldn't have to come to you and seek forgiveness, even if we've said it 4 or 5 times. It could be that we need to hear it one more time. It could be in some instances that, and it seems with this particular group, we're not that large, that with the track record that we seem to have in our RDs and so on, that we might need a little bit of personal touch for a while with Jack and or whoever would represent the corporation leadership, just to get that thing in momentum as far as, all right, yeah, I hear you. Then run that thing back through the RD and, you know, divorce himself from the grassroots touch or us, basically, in that sense. But I know I'm in a posture for where I am that I haven't felt that well represented, even through my state director via the RD to Jack, to the ILT, so to speak. And I'm just wondering if we're not in a posture where to hear some of the things that Al is speaking to as far as overextension that I would appreciate over the next couple of years where I am, some face-to-face opportunities there, and then in the restoration process of that. In other words, I think I sit a little bit shaky, and I'm not sure, you know, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, about that communication there. And I do feel, though, that I have been impressed with the tendency in the navigators from various area reps on up, including myself, to want to cover my six. And I think Al had to uncover his six with some of his people in Chicago. And if that needs to be done, I would, whatever it takes to get that done, even if it's, I don't feel comfortable about a reputation in that area.
Lauren, did you have your hand up?
Yes. There's talk of healing and need for forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, the assurance of no more stress, the recognition that we won't operate that way in the future, the leadership. I'm wondering who this is. Do we need to get Joe and Doug and Jim Peterson, the ILP, together? Is that what's needed?
Sure. All right. Now, Bruce has just expressed something. He said that he's not sure at times he feels that his state director represents him. Am I quoting you correctly? You just made that statement.
Let me clarify the statement.
Did you make that statement?
Through the process. Okay. I'm not being heard through the... And it's not that I'm not being heard. I don't want to overuse that. To me...
Okay, well, right now, all I'm trying to find out is...
With Bob, no.
But the question is, who is the leadership to which the comments refer? I picked up in your case, it can be the state director. Who doesn't represent you, or you feel it is not represented adequately, the regional director.
All right. I would rather not bring the specific into the open. But
okay.
In our region, I would say that that's been true.
Okay. All I'm trying to do is isolate to get some answer to Sandy's question. The leadership.
Obviously, all my observations are limited to the U.S. and the U.S. ministry team.
All right. The U.S. ministry team. Who else?
Which are the regional directors, some that have worked for them, and the U.S. director. I mean, that's the ballpark.
All right. Yes. Would you say it again?
All of my comments are directed toward the U.S., the regional directors, and some that have worked for them, and some that have worked for the U.S. director in the past, and then two U.S. directors.
All right. Chuck?
I'd like to go back. I had a comment on radios.
Oh.
Can I bring that up now?
Well, let's try and get an answer for Lauren right now, Chuck, if that's okay. Does anybody else want to express what you mean by the leadership when you make the comments that you do? Let's give you a chance back there.
It seems like it's kind of hard because you keep shifting. I don't have an extra grind. I'm as happy as a pig in slop. But I think I get a little nervous when I hear we're going a direction, and I sit here and I hear what Jack has said, and I just say, boy, amen, let's go. But I don't know if Jack's going to be here next year. And so I think that the nervousness that I feel is in that area. And I sat down with a couple of people here. I don't know who they are. I don't have a clue. I told a couple of them that I thought they were they, and they were kind of,
no,
not. So,
okay.
I'm isolated to the man who's right over the 50 days. And it's worked fine, except that the last two aren't with them. I mean, they're not functioning now in their position, but all I know in that place is to go to the man that I'm reporting to and tell him how I feel and tell him he's there.
Anybody else want to comment or try to speak to this question?
Can I just add a little to what I said?
A little.
Okay. My state director, I feel, is unavailable to me because he's been involved in regional meetings. My RD has been unavailable to me because he's been involved in RD meetings or with the state directors. And I feel that some of that has been in the sense of unavailability. And when they're not there, they can't hear.
All right. Bob?
I don't know what the specific situation is, George, but I know in my own personal life, both in my family, my friends, and sometimes guys that have worked with me or for me, they make my decision regarding my availability. There's been something come up and they've said, well, you've been so busy, I didn't want to bother you. That's my decision, my availability, not his. I tell my wife that, I tell my children that, I tell my friends that. Don't make my decision for me. Let me decide if I'm available. And I only speak of that on Bruce's comment. His state director's been in a meeting, or his RD's been in meetings. That's probably true, but he may be making the decision for his leadership as to their availability. They may be available. I may always want to stay up all night with my wife, if she just asked me.
Okay. We're trying to answer a question for Lauren, if we can, regarding this leadership situation.
I feel like a lot of contention is with the past, and we've got brand new slates without a... Now I'm really encouraged.
Good. Keep talking. Keep talking. Charlie?
I think my comments have to be all up and down the line in terms of, I'm talking about procedure, and therefore it's not focused in any one level. But if we've had what seems to us to be an inordinate number of leadership crises, then, and our pattern of procedure has been fairly similar, then maybe we ought to take a look at that procedure.
Good. Bob?
I can preface this before I really kill myself. In the military, many times in a situation where you tell your supervisor something to get to go higher up. And the question, the thing you get back would be, well, the commander doesn't want to hear that. Or, I don't want to say that because it'll upset him. And I've heard that. And it's just been, it's been kind of generally out there. And like I said, I don't have an action rank either. I'm not, I love everybody, you know. But I've heard that said of Warren. And then sometimes when I hear that, it makes me, well, you know, if something can't be said, it may not even be true. And like I said, I don't have a giant problem with it. But when you want to push the, how far you want to go, I'm including the RD team. I've heard that said about people on the RD team. I've heard that said about Skip when he was in the position. I've heard it said about Warren. And I think that so that has to be spoken to. If there is not, you can't say something because somebody's not going to take it, right? I feel kind of antsy about that. I spent 9.5 years in that, in the military. I was always antsy about that at that point. So I think it, you know, that goes all the way up.
Any other comments? Harv?
George, a while back you asked if there were any suggestions for a healing process. Or what kind of, that was about a half an hour ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I have any great solutions. But I've thought of probably about three things. It seems a couple of years ago, Lawrence Sanning spoke to the process is as important as the decision. And I think we've spoken to that today. And I think in some cases, the process probably has been questioned, not necessarily the decision. I think we probably will keep working on the process. The second point is I feel that there probably has been a lack of training of men in leadership positions. And so the leader has been put up with without knowing his weaknesses for a given period of time. And nobody has taken the time or the work to help this man develop in areas that he is not strong in, or his gifts are not compatible to his responsibility. In some of these cases, I'm sure some training could have been injected along the way and perhaps changed the course. And then the third point that was mentioned a little while ago, somebody speculating that somebody might have more than they can handle in a capacity factor. Apparently that's been spoken to a couple times on some of the men that have been relieved of responsibilities. It seems like what we need to do is develop some kind of a flexible organizational structure. Now, apparently we've seen one step of this already with Sheffield coming in to assist Jack. And I assume from that move that Jack just had more than he could handle. In a position like Jerry White has, maybe there needs to be one or two men in an in-between responsible position to help take some of the load, and maybe not in Jerry's case, but in others, in a similar situation, so that the man doesn't get bogged down and have to eventually be relieved of his responsibility.
Good, Harp. Thank you. Lauren, I'm not sure we've given you a whole lot of information, but apparently those are all the thoughts that we can muster on this matter. Okay. We have a couple of men who had their hands up that we want to finish up with. Chuck wanted to go back to a comment that was made and build on that. I have Ben down here. You still have the comment you want to make, Ben?
Yeah.
All right, let's wait it just a bit. And John Ed, I've got you on here next. All right, Chuck.
Well, if I can just, Ray was talking about being hurt. And
being what?
Hurt. H-U-R-T.
Okay.
Men being hurt. That was at the time we were talking about how people get hurt.
few decisions. Now, I've been fired twice in the past, and I've been dangled over the pit several times. And I think my feelings have been hurt. My pride's been cut into, sliced up. My reputation maybe bounced around a bit, and my feelings because of that. In one case, I can think that it was not handled well. Poor leadership. I just say that and put it there. In other cases, good, well handled. But when it really comes to the me, I don't think I am hurt by it. I don't think I have been hurt. My feelings momentarily, and I, you know, come back to Mateo Tumele, this sort of thing. But I don't think I have been hurt by all that. Because God has not let that happen to me. And now that doesn't excuse leadership decisions. You know, people make a decision. I make a decision on some guy in my area, and I got to bear the responsibility of that decision. And God will take care of it. And I can't cop out on that, that God will take care of it. But still God will. So from my perspective, looking upward in the structure, I have not been hurt.
Thank you.
I'm not done. I got one more comment.
I can still say thank you.
Second thing is about confidence in my leadership. Now, I have confidence in Jerry. I work directly with Jerry White, so I just want to say before I make my next comment that I have confidence.
Right now, before he says anything else.
However, I at times wane in my confidence in leadership, or question, and lack in confidence in leadership. But I do have confidence in God. And again, leadership can do just about anything they please, but God still protects me. And at one point, when I had gotten bounced, Lamentations 3:23 came to me, and I was going through it in that measure. Now, 3:37, who has commanded that it came to pass unless the Lord has ordained it? So my confidence really is not in leadership anyway. Ultimately, it's in God. So that does not nullify all the problems we talked about. And I think I bear some of the feelings of some of the men. But ultimately, what keeps me hanging on is the fact that I have confidence in God. And I don't have confidence in leadership always anyway, because they're just as human as I am.
Now? Thank you. Okay, Ben?
I just like to say, George, I have great confidence in navigating leadership. And I think that has stemmed from a real privilege that for a couple of years, back in 1970 through 72, I've gotten to get in on a lot of the thinking of Jack and his team, because I've taken notes. And I know that the decisions were made on the basis of the individual's best interest. I've seen that personally in my own life. As I've experienced our current regional setup, I'm being developed. And I'm being cared for. And I think that there's a constant source of tension just in the Christian life. There's the ideal, then there's the ideal is perfect. Then there's the real, that's where I am. And I'm somewhere, you know, progressing more in Christ's likeness.
But I can't expect the navigators, although we have a standard of excellence, I can't expect the navigators to be accommodated in terms of leadership. And that I heard, I think maybe Sandy said it once, what I need to be willing to say, what's wrong with the navigator? Me. If I'm becoming more like Christ, then I'm going to be influencing the right kind of change.
Good, Ben. Thanks for expressing that. Fred, I saw you and we'll get you, but we've got to go to John Ed first.
Well, Chuck's already expressed it very eloquently, but the thing I was going to say is that I thought about what Lauren said, you know, when am I going to get demoted? And from time to time. And I think the two thoughts I've had with respect to that is, number one, if and when it happens, and however it happens, my main responsibility is my response. You know, that's the main thing. Of course, Chuck spoke to that very often. And the second thing, which he also said, is demotion. I think we carry over from the world the assumption that demotion is always damaging. And I don't see that in the Bible. You know, I think that's just I fight that assumption myself. In the military, business, whatever, you know, demotion is kind of in the line.
So maybe we shouldn't even use the word and just think in terms of a change of assignment, because that's what it really is. In God's economy, it's not a demotion or a promotion. It's just a change of assignment. Fred, and I think with this one, folks, we'll wind it up.
Hey, that's what you do. I'll get the last shot.
You get the last shot, Fred. It better be a good one.
I'd like to hitch on to Ben's comment, because as I've been sitting here this afternoon just listening to all of the comments, the idea is coming, you know, popping in my head that we may be now on the threshold of a new corporate type of responsibility for middle management. I think this is about the second or third meeting we've been to like this. We had one the FOM, and then this one. Wait, we're going to another?
Yeah, we want an authority.
That's right, more authority. It could be we're just coming to grips with a new responsibility as a group of men. I've been hearing Al Andrews, and I certainly respect his insight and thinking. And I've heard all of these other comments, and know what they're talking about. But it could be that God's calling us to new responsibilities we've never faced up to before. For instance, Moses led 2 million people out of Egypt, and then all of a sudden he had to make a change in his leadership style. And he didn't pull back in responsibility to send 2 million, or at least 1,900,000 up back to Egypt. He kept them all. He just changed the style. He just, you know, restructured. And the Israelites, you know, relate to that new structure. And then as I watch the movement of God moving those 2 million people across for the 40 years there in the desert, I don't know how many times they blew it. But Moses made maybe not innumerable, we couldn't enumerate, but he made many mistakes. And one of them even cost him the trip to the promised land. So he got that madly. But it could be that all of those Israelites that followed Moses either had to relate to Moses and get along with him and continue, or they paid a very terrible price for not continuing in a follower relationship with the man that God chose. Now, Hebrews 13:1, verse 3, kind of curl and toe, but it says, let love of brethren continue. Right. And that may be what we're facing. My father down here, R.D. Lewis, you people think I look like him because it's my dad, so you didn't want to shut up, that's really how it is. God has led us to many love relationships. So within this group, and you learn to love God, Skip. Then you learn to maybe not love Him. You know, you learn to love the guy like Bob. Then at times you really don't want to love Him. Like you just take him out behind a barn and come back alone. That may be the relationship that we're facing. You know, just facing up. of relating to an enormous amount of people and an enormous amount of change, and just continuing to walk with God on the basis of continuing to love people that you know, we now see are not as awful as they first started. So that's a developing thought. It could be just a new type of middle management relationship. We're not that big fan anymore. Mm-hmm. So it could be that in Georgia.
That's good, Fred. Thank you. That's a good word to close on. I'd like to just tack a verse onto that from over in Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would hope that a discussion or an expression time like we've had this afternoon will not be used in any way by the enemy to produce anything that would be disruptive to this process that God exhorts us to with one another. Let's pray, shall we? Father, a great number of things have been expressed. Some have been potentially detrimental. Some have been very helpful, very, very encouraging. We believe you've intended that these should be said this afternoon. And because we believe that, we ask that you would take them now and by your Spirit make them redemptive in our hearts, in our experience. And I pray that as a result of what we have been doing, there would be this expression that Fred has exhorted us to, a continuing in a very real love relationship, which includes forgiveness. And maybe we don't understand all about forgiveness. And help us not to become so semantic or definition oriented. But Lord, give us a spirit of forgiveness wherever that's necessary. And we do pray, Father, that you would bring about a healing. You've said that we're to confess our faults to one another and to pray for one another that we may be healed. And I pray that in your own way you would allow this to begin to happen in a real way. We thank you for this time, Father, and for one another, for the work that you are doing in each of our lives, for the confidence that our desire is to please you. Help us to be mutually encouraging to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.